When was the last time that you said no to something because you had the power to say no to something? Right? Just thinking about, when was the last time? And let me talk to the men. If your wife asked you to take out the garbage, that's not what I'm talking about here. Okay, so not someone asked you to do something like, no, I told her no. You bet I turned to the Bible, right? None of that. All right, we're not using that here. That's not this space. But think personally. When was the last time you had opportunity to say yes to something, and because you felt strong enough, because you had willpower, because it was a buffet and you said, nope, I'm stopping at plate 3, right? I'm going to say no to plate 4. Like, those kinds of moments. When was the last time you had a story like that? You can remember. Yeah, I remember. It was involving a relationship. It was when the guys wanted to hang out late, and I know when the guys hang out late, what it turns into. And I had enough power in that moment to say, I'm cool. I'm not going to do that. Maybe it was a purchase. Right, you could have made it, and you said, you know what, I'm not gonna buy this now. You probably have stories like that. You could probably remember times where you said no because you were able to, and now I want you to think about the feeling that you had. You felt good, right? I know I feel good when I'm able to say no to something, and I say, you know what, it's because I have the ability to do this. It's not because I'm not free. In fact, it's because I am free enough to say, you know, I don't need that. Now let me ask you one more question here. When was the last time you wish you said no to something? Right, that's a harder question to answer. Right? Like you know, I wish I said no to that. I wish when that relationship came knocking on my door, I said no. I wish when that career opportunity came and I was contemplating, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? You didn't say no. And now you're carrying certain emotions, certain feelings. This word no is very interesting. It creates a lot of tension in our own hearts. I know in my house with a 3-year-old, the word no creates a lot of tension in the atmosphere, right? You know that's true. The parents are chuckling, right? Because you know that two-letter word has the ability to take a very calm moment and just inject it with chaos. Like just meltdowns and tantrums. And I'm not talking about Nate, I'm talking about me, right? Let's say what it is, right? Because we can look at children and we can say, man, they hear the word no and they just don't know what's good for them. And I'm their parent and I know why chocolate for breakfast is not good for them. And I know why a bedtime is good for them. And I know why school is good for them. And we go through this and it's easy to look at children and say, man, they don't get it. But this is adult space. So we're going to talk about adults. When we are faced with that no and we push so hard against it, I mean, we have this whole idea that no is going to stop me from living a well-balanced life. That no is not going to help me get the most out of my life. No is going to hinder me. No is going to stop my fun. See, that's the idea that we lean into. And we see it, yes, in children, but I know that I join in with Nate's rebellion against the word no. And let me give you some examples of my own life. I don't want to say, I don't want to be waking up early. Right? I don't want to say, no, it's time for me to get up. I want to push against that. I want to say, you know, I want to sleep as late as I can. And that alarm clock goes off, right? Snooze button, people, where are you? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We have a problem. We know, right? Just snooze. Like just as long as I can. Why? Because I want to say no to getting up. I don't want to get up. And then there are those emotions that we carry with us. Well, I want to get even. That's a hard one. Because when it comes to getting even, when it comes to getting someone back for what they did, the problem is you probably have the right, right? Let's assume you have the right to get even with this person. This person hurt you. This person betrayed your trust. This person did something that it was just a complete betrayal. And so you, in that moment, you are actually justified in getting even. And you would lean into that and say, no, I don't need to say no to that. I don't need to say no to, I'm going to say no to forgiving them. I'm not going to just let this go when someone cuts you off in traffic, right? Well, now I have to say no to being angry. No. I'm going to be angry in this moment. I'm going to get as close as I can to them to let them know I'm a little bit angry right now. Because saying no to road rage is really hard, right? It's really hard. But, right? Thank you. So we know, we all know. Let me tell you right now, you're in a comfortable space because there's not one person in this space that has it all figured out. I'm the most jacked up person in this room, so don't drive around me, trust me. But it's hard. It's hard to say no to those things. It's hard. But I know that if you want to get the most out of your life, and if you really consider this, if you really want, we're talking about having a well-balanced life, if you really want that, then you know that no is important. That constraint and restraint cannot be the enemy in your life. The problem is we're in a culture that's saturated with that very concept, that no stops balance. No stops us from getting the most out of our lives. And it's very subtle, but we all lean into that. Well, if someone tells you you can't, prove them wrong. Well, that's pushing against no. If someone tells you you can't buy that, well, that's okay. We can make a way for you to buy it. You don't need the money now. Just say no to that. Right? We lean in that direction. It's everywhere. Be who you want to be. Don't let anyone stop you. If you feel like it, become it. If you think you are, become it. It's all around us. And so the issue is, if we are looking for getting the most of it in our lives, and if you would buy into this idea that no is important, you've got a hard road ahead of you. But if you really want to be able to say no when those moments come, jealousy, gossiping about someone, I mean, that's real hard. Isn't it hard when someone screws up worse than you? Thank God for screw-ups worse than us, right? We're all good people in this space. We're all perfect. So you know someone, they screw up worse than you. You keep them on retainer just so you can look at their lives. And it's real hard to say no to judgment in that moment, right? Honey, you see that guy, you got a pretty good husband compared, don't you think, right? I'm pretty good. Because it's hard to say no to judgment. Because it's hard to say no to talking about people. But you know when you lean into judgment and when you lean into gossip and when you lean into anger and when you should have said, no, I don't want the relationship. No, I don't want to go out tonight. No, I know no one's going to know, but I'm not going to cheat. You know that when you lean into yes, there is pain, there is guilt, there is shame. There is this thing that wells up in us of, I wish I never did. So what if today we could all get on the same page and discover that there is a necessary no in our lives? That no is actually necessary, right? What we've been doing for the past couple weeks is we're looking at these four essentials that we see God giving humanity for them to get the most out of their lives, right? For you as a human to just live a well-balanced life and get the best life possible, you're going for that. Right, there's no one in this space right now that's thinking, you know what, I don't really want a good life. I don't really care that much. And whatever happens, happens. No one's leaning that way. We woke up with purpose today. No one here wants to just survive, right? We want to thrive through life. Now, while you might believe that, this is a harder belief. I believe that God wants that for you. That you're not alone in your wanting a better life. And you're wanting to get the most out of life. You don't stay there by yourself. God actually wants that for you. And I know that's a hard concept. And I know if today you're just exploring God and you're considering God and you're kind of checking out church and faith and these things, I get why that's difficult to understand. Because you have a story. Because in your story, like my story, there's brokenness, there's pain, there's probably moments of where is God? If God's so loving, then fill in the blank. Why did this happen? Why did that relationship go down? Why didn't she get healed? Why am I living this way? We have those stories. So I know the buy-in to believe that God wants to get you to get the most out of your life is difficult. It's what we're going to explore together today. We're going to start way back at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. Genesis is the first book there. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. And if you don't own a Bible, we have Bibles for you. They're in the baskets in this room, and you could take one with you. But we're going to have the verses right up here on the screen as well for you to follow along with. So we're all reading together. But we're going to look at this story in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read two verses together today. And I want you to see that no may not be the enemy of your balance. That no may not be the worst thing in the world for you to grab onto and say, you know what? I think I could use no in my life. I think as I pursue balance, as I'm trying to get the most out of life, I think no could come in handy. I think no could benefit me. That's what we're going to discover together. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17 is what I want us to read. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read these verses. It's something we do in this space. We stand. And if you want to read this with us out loud, you are invited to. If you want to listen, you can do that as well. It's going to be right up here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. That's it. You may be seated. We're going to end with that word, die. Have a good week, right? No, let's not stop there. So here's what's going on. We're way back in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, right? And we are looking at Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve. And listen, I know that this text and today's concept, it's really hard to buy into. I know that as you're maybe exploring God and you're like, okay, we're going to talk about Adam and Eve. I don't know that I could believe this. I don't know that I could land there. I mean, really, God created humanity. There's science. And where does it go? I want you to know this, okay? There are a lot of smart people in this world that are considering and debating that very thought. So you're not alone. Do not feel ostracized. And I feel like I can't listen to the rest of this because I don't know what I believe. Look, you don't read things on Facebook because they're true. Right? You just read it because it's on your feed. So I believe the Bible is at least half as true as Facebook. So we can still learn something today, even if you're not saying, well, I don't know that it's true. Well, let's listen together. So God creates Adam and Eve, and he places them in what we've seen as the best environment. An ideal environment. He places them in what you might call paradise. I mean, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no disease. It's a great experience. And he wants them in that space to get the most out of their lives. And in that space, God is building these four essentials. And we learned a couple weeks ago about the essential of rest. And last week, we learned about the essential of responsibility. And today, we're talking about this word, restraint. And restraint is really hard to buy into. Because it's like, all right, I understand God wants me to take a nap, right? That was the first week we learned. That sounds good. God wants me to rest. He wants me to enjoy food. He wants me to enjoy the trees. And great. And even last week, we're kind of climbing the hill. It's like, okay, I can get it. Work doesn't have to be a bad thing. And even if I don't like my job, I can still have purpose there. We discovered that last week. But this one, the necessary no, restraint, that this might be the hardest one for us to buy into, because it's like, if I'm going to have the best life possible, that does not include no. There's no way. There's no way that includes no, because we don't like that word. I asked my son this week, I was just getting ready for this, I said, Nate, do you like the word no? And he's 3 years old, and it was cool, because he actually thought about it, he processed it, and he said, Daddy, I like the word yes. That was his unprompted, unscripted, that was just his response. And then we started to have a logical conversation, which I realize doesn't work too well with a three-year-old. Because I said, well, listen, son, how come you can say no to Dad, but I can't say no to you? And he just wasn't following the logic there because he tells me no all the time. But the second I say no, it's like it's a war in the house, right? So that's where we land. I don't really like the word no that much. But what if we could discover today that no will actually lead to balance? That God actually wants you to know the word no and how to use it. You ever been in a situation where the odds were stacked in your favor? Those are good moments, right? Like you didn't know that there was going to be an Uno party, right? You didn't know that Uno was going to come out that night, but then it does and you're like, oh, I've got this. I have got this. I am the Uno champ and this is going to be great. Like you get in those moments where like you're ready for it. And maybe if you're really good, like you'll hustle people at first and then you get friends to buy in. This guy has no idea what he's doing with Uno. Like, all right, let's put money on it, right? And then you just show up. And because the odds are stacked in your favor. I know that my brother over here, he's a professional gamer. It's what he does. And I know that if he and I were to play video games together, I lose every time. It's not even a question, right? He's my younger brother. He's been beating me since he was born, right? When it's video games, it's just how it is. I know that we could try to make it as even as possible. Brand new game he's never played, I've never played. I will still lose. The odds are stacked in his favor. But listen to this. If right now the two of us go outside in that street and you all watch and say, who can run to the end of the block first? I got it. Big brother takes it. I take it. I did a 5K this morning. I am ready to do this, right? I'm ready to run because the odds are stacked in my favor in that moment. You've been in moments where the odds have been stacked in your favor. And what does that have to do with this? As we read Genesis chapter 2, the question that comes up that I hear when this story gets introduced is, well, why did God put that tree there? You ever wonder that? If you know the story of Adam and Eve and that tree, right? The tree that God says, hey, I'm going to put this here. Don't touch it. I'm just going to drop it right there. You cannot touch that. We tend to lean into that tree and say, well, why did God put that there? That doesn't make sense. We're going to answer that in a couple minutes. But if we go right to that tree, we skip over verse 16. We skip over everything else God did for humanity. The moment when he put the odds in their favor. See, verse 16, Genesis 2, He said, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. You may freely eat the fruit of every... So let's pause there before we get to that tree in verse 17. We have a tendency, and by we, I mean me, and maybe you, but I know that we have a tendency to look right at restriction and skip right over permission. See, I see this in my house too. I'm going to use my son a lot today. Because I know that if it's getting close to bedtime and I say, hey, bud, we're going to watch a movie and then we're going to go to bed. What did he hear in that sentence? We're going to bed, right? No, hold up. We're going to watch a movie. There's no reason to yell. We're going to watch a movie and then we're going to go to bed. But we have this tendency to skip past the permission and put right into the restriction because we're on radar. We're looking out for things that are saying, don't do this. Things that are what? Stopping our fun. But maybe that's because we were using the wrong filter. We instantly hear no and we think it's a bad thing, but what if it's not? So see what God does here. He places Adam and Eve in a perfect environment and says, you can eat from every tree. Now here's where we have to speculate a little bit, because what does the word every mean? Right, we don't know. So I know that I've never used the word every for two, right? I use the word two for two. So even three, even four. So let's say we can go above four, right? A few. Well, I usually use the word few for few. So you can eat from every tree. Was it 10? Was it 100? Was it 1,000? I don't know. But God says, you see all those trees? Every single one is yours. I'm giving those trees to you. They're going to be awesome. Like, live there. Those trees are great. Why? Because I'm giving you permission before I introduce restriction. And then God gets to verse 17. This is our problem verse. It says, all those trees, except this one. This one, you can't eat from. This one isn't good for you. The text said, you eat this one and you die. And that's where the question comes up. Well, then why that tree? Do you love blaming people? Come on, don't lie, it's church. I love blaming people. I love it when if I mess up, if I can find some kind of scapegoat and say, well, I only because he did. And I wouldn't have done that if she didn't say that, right? I was just responding to what they did. You ever blame a cop for pulling you over? Right? Don't try this, okay? Let me tell you. Do not try. Well, I would not have been going so fast if you weren't behind those bushes, all right? You shouldn't have been hidden. Like, I do not try this, okay? It does not work at home. But we love to find our scapegoats. We love to say, well, I wouldn't if you didn't. And I would have never done that if she didn't. And if they didn't invite me, I wouldn't have had a chance to say no. So really, I mean, I have to go because they invited me. And in this moment, we get to verse 17 and we see, except that tree. It's very easy to say, God, why did you put that there? You're the reason we're in this mess. I mean, Adam, they could have just had all those trees and just say, hey, I built this perfect world. Enjoy it. It's going to be great. We're going to love each other. It's going to be awesome. Just happy. Love life. Balance life. So why that tree? I believe that God puts that tree in that space. And when he does, he also puts two very important things. The first thing he puts is love into that space. Let me ask you this question. What does forced love get you? Think about it. What does forced love get you? It gets you jail time. Right? In our society, that's what forced... Some of you will get that in a minute. You'll laugh. Right? It'll get you in trouble. Right? You know that. If I try to force you to love me, there's no relationship there. Right? If you're forced into love, let me take it a step further. There's no such thing as forced love. By love's very definition, there is choice involved in love. Forced love is no love at all. Forced love is not relationship. There's no choice. If you just tell me I have to, well, there's no essence of love. We lose our definition of love. Consider this. If God does not place that tree in that garden, I believe that he doesn't place love into our space. Because now Adam and Eve have a choice. Now they will love the God that gave them every tree and see that tree as the reminder to their love choice. No, I'm going to say no to that tree because I'm saying love to God. I'm going to walk past that tree every single day and I'm going to have to say no to it. And it's going to be good for me because we all know it feels good when you say no to something that you know is going to hurt you. And I'm going to walk past that tree every day and I'm going to say, I can, but I won't. I could, but I won't. God introduces love when he puts that tree. And he introduces our word for today, restraint. He introduces self-imposed restraint. That's powerful. You know that's powerful in your own life. When you are self-imposing restraint, when someone's not forcing you to do something, someone's not forcing you to say no to something, but because of your own choice, which comes by that tree, right? You have choice, then you can actually choose to say, no, I'm not going to lean into that. I can, but I won't. No one would know, but I won't. I mean, this is internal. This is an emotional thing. They still won't know, but I won't. Sure, I could make that purchase, but I won't. I could go out with him, but I won't. I could go there, but I won't. You see how freeing that is? That's power. I mean, that is a well-balanced life. When you have opportunity and you see the tree is there every day. And I love it because I just get this image of Adam and Eve every day walking through the garden, picking fruit off tree, and they get to that tree. And it's, I can, but I won't. And it's good for me to not, because it feels good when we don't. So God places a tree in this garden, and he's really placing love and restraint. And they're both joined together by this word choice. You now have a choice. Choose me, God would say, and all these trees, love and experience my love, and we're going to enter into a relationship together. Or you can choose, because it's your choice, to lean into the verse 17 tree. And God says that tree comes with a tag. It's not love, it's death. You're going to die. And if you know how the story goes, that's exactly what Adam and Eve do. They lean into verse 17 tree. And God's promise to them, which we read in verse 16, was a warning. We don't like that word either. But warnings are good. You need warnings. We all need warnings. Imagine traffic without warnings. Or that stoplights to tell you to stop. That would be bad. So warnings are good things. So God is not being, hey, I'm warning you, you better not eat that tree. I don't think it's that way. I think he's looking out for their love. He's looking out for their choice. He's saying, you lean there, this is the result. But they lean there. And in that moment, it all dies. The first thing they experience is what I start off with, that you experience when you say to no to something that you wish you didn't. Shame. Guilt. Let me hide this. Let me cover this up. They feel that instantly. And they try to hide and they try to run away from God. And I think in that moment, God has every right to show up and say, I told you, you didn't listen. Good luck. Right? I told you, you did not listen. Have a nice day. Now you can deal with this on your own. Right, parents? We lean there. I told you not to do it. Clean the mess. We lean there. Thank God, God does not lean there. Thank God, God does not in Genesis 3 say, you made the mess, you clean the mess. He shows up and he starts cleaning right away. See, Adam and Eve, they try to cover themselves with some fig leaves, which if you ever tried, it's pretty drafty, right? Well, you probably haven't. Just take my word for it, right? They try to cover them. I haven't either, right? I'm taking their word for it. But they try to cover themselves up with some fig leaves. Doesn't work too well. But there's more that's going on there. They're trying to grab onto whatever they can to fix the problem and clean the mess and justify why they pushed against no. We do that. Well, here's why I did. And so they do that. And God shows up and he starts cleaning their mess. We read this beautiful moment at the end of Genesis 3 where he makes a promise to them that there is one coming who will take care of this once and for all. It's Genesis 3:15. He says to Eve, your offspring is going to crush that serpent. Your offspring is going to be destroyed. There's no more. But then God sends them out of the garden, not with their fig leaves. He actually gives them clothes. Could you imagine clothes from God? Like those, that's good. That's not going to get any moth holes in it. He covers them. He's showing, I'm going to clean your mess. I warned you. I told you what would happen, but I'm not going to leave you alone in this thing. I'm going to clean it for you. I put a tree in this garden to show you love and to show you restraint. You have a choice. And I love it because you fast forward and God puts another tree in our world. It comes in the person of Jesus Christ, his own son. See, when Jesus enters our space and we read his story, we see that by him entering our space, you know what we get again? Love and restraint through Jesus coming to this world. Jesus becomes the visible image of God's love to humanity. And every moment where you and I want to lean and push against no, Jesus says no for us. And now there's a renewed sense of choice in our lives. And I know what you're thinking. Well, he's Jesus. Of course he said no to the wrong things. I mean, he has the upper hand there. And I get why you would consider that. There was someone who wrote about Jesus not even 30 years after Jesus walked this earth. And we read about it in a book called Hebrews. And in Hebrews, there's this verse, we could put it up here. Look at what he says, this guy who knew Jesus, not even 30 years after Jesus dies on a cross and comes back to life. He writes this, "For we do not have a high priest," that's Jesus, "who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." This guy who knew Jesus and wrote about him only 30 years later said, no, it wasn't because he never had moments to say no to them. It wasn't just because he was Jesus and he gets a free pass and he can't be tempted and he doesn't struggle and there's nothing going on there. No, this guy writes and he says, yeah, he was tempted the same way you and I are. And in every single moment, he says no. Why? Because of the beginning of that sentence. Because he's our high priest. Because he's the one who really makes confession for us. Because he's the one that we turn to. And when we turn to him, every no that he was able to say becomes our no. Every time we lean into sin, Jesus says, I'll take that from you. The same way that God took those drafty fig leaves and gave them nice clothing, Jesus takes our bad decisions, our sin, our wrong choices and says, I'll take that from you, and I will give you love, and I will give you the ability to say no again. Because of Jesus, the necessary no is possible. Because of Jesus. And just consider your life right now. What motivates you to say no? What is it that you say, well, this is why I can say no? And there are many options. And you have your story. And so you're finding something. It might be your commitment to another person. So I'm not gonna betray this person. So that's why I'm going to say no in this situation. But how long can that last? Well, I'm not going to do that because I have a good job and I don't want to ruin it. I've seen people with great jobs make lousy decisions. It just happens. We all lean there. And so Jesus is so different because Jesus has already made the no decision for you. He's already lived the way you were supposed to live. And he makes it possible for you to have that freedom and to lean into this well-balanced life and get the most out of life because now it's not you against everyone, but it's you and Jesus. And I think the odds are stacked in your favor in that moment. Right? I think the odds get much better when it's you and Jesus and those situations where, hey, do you want to come out with us? Hey, do you want to buy this? Hey, do you want to go on a date? Hey, do you want to move here? You can think of the scenarios. And suddenly now you're not wondering on your own, should I not? But you're connecting with Jesus. And you're considering Jesus. I'm a product of WWJD bracelets. Right? What would Jesus do bracelets? That was me growing up in a church. And they're good, and the concept is great. So you consider, well, what would Jesus do in this moment? And I want to do like Jesus. And that's great. But if you miss this, what did Jesus do? You're not going to get what would Jesus do. You have to know what Jesus did already for you, and he already said no to those things for you. And suddenly we can lean into him. If you would never call yourself a Christian, you would never say you're following Jesus, and you would never check that off on a survey, I want to invite you to explore Jesus today. I want you to just think in your own head, how would knowing Jesus change the moments where I have opportunity to say no? How would knowing who Jesus, I'm not saying believing in him, I'm saying how would discovering him, how would considering him, how would him coming into my story change those moments? How would I be able to lean into that necessary no? If that's where you land this morning, I'd love to connect with you this week and explore that with you and just give you a resource and make myself available to you to talk about Jesus. So those connection cards that we have in the chair, there's a spot on the bottom of them that says begin a relationship with Jesus. A starting point. Hey, I want to know more about him. I'd love to discover how is he in my life going to really enable me to say no. Don't pass that opportunity up. Grab a card, even now, fill it out, hand it to me, or drop it in a box so we could talk about how Jesus changes your life. Now, if you've already, you've been there and you say, I'm living with Jesus, just consider your story. Come on, how often do you say no because of Jesus? How often are you able to say, you know what, I could get even, I have every right to get even, this person should never talk to me again, but I'm going to say no to that because I know forgiveness. Sure, I could buy that. I could do that. I could go there. But Jesus is making me consider. Jesus is changing my decisions. How often is that happening? The beauty is, it could always happen. The beauty is, with every moment of our lives, we could be asking Jesus to enter that space. It's okay. What are we doing here? Can I be free enough to say no? It's a different way to live. But imagine, While the rest of culture is leaning into racism and hatred and saying, well, we're not like you, and so we don't like you, what if you could say no to that idea and say, no, I embrace all people because I know that's what Jesus did. I love all people despite race, despite gender, despite any situation. We love you. What if, while culture is moving in a direction that says, well, everything I have for me. I worked for it. It's mine. It's my money. So I'm going to spend it all on me. I can't help you. Have a nice day. You got yourself in that mess. You clean it up. What if, because of Jesus, you could say no to that idea and say, well, yeah, this is mine and I worked for it, but I'll share because I know God shared Jesus with me. It's a little different. It's a little different. And I believe it's the most, getting the most out of life. So here's what we're all going to do this week. You're invited to play along. You don't have to be a Christian to do this, okay? This week, say no to something just because you're able to. Right now, again, husbands, not to what your wife's asking you to do. I just got to keep reiterating that. We're doing a marriage series in October, so spouses, bring your spouses out, okay? It's not that. But what is it that you can say? And it might be a little thing. It might be, my world, second bowl of ice cream. You know what? Monday night, no to the second bowl of ice cream. Tuesday, we'll bring you back. Don't worry. But for one moment, I'm going to say no because it's good for me. Because it reminds me that I have choice. Now, let me say this. For some of you, there's a big no that you have to say. Come on, you've been leaning so hard into this way of living for so long and you feel like you don't have the freedom anymore to say no to it. And there is bitterness, years of bitterness and unforgiveness. What if you said no to that and you started to embrace forgiveness? And I know, and you know, it's not this. Start somewhere though. What if tomorrow you wake up and say, for the first hour, I'm not gonna think about what he did. I'm gonna say no to it, just for an hour. Just for the first hour, I'm not going to consider the promises she made and the betrayal. Just for an hour. Start somewhere. Maybe there's some addiction in your life and you feel like, I can't break it. I've been doing this for years. Well, what if you, just for an hour, I'm going to say no because God placed Jesus in this world to restore love and choice to me. It's a different way to live. But I believe it's the way to get the most out of your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and meeting in this space. And we thank you that you looked at our mess and you didn't say, have a nice day. You said, I'll clean it. And so, Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to this world to renew our view of love and restraint, to introduce choice once again into our lives. Help us this week, Father. May we say no to those things. May we see that no is not the enemy of balance, but it is the best way to live. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Amen.